They said you were the best in the parsec.
We will be the ones reaching into space for all of mankind.
If the Nazis can be beaten in that world, they can be beaten in this one.
Clips from new exclusive shows on streaming platforms. Disney is the latest to muscle into this crowded market. The company unveiled Disney Plus 2 weeks ago. But of course, there's also Apple TV Plus, Amazon Prime, Netflix, Hulu, and more. So what is a cord cutter to do? NPR TV critic Eric Deggans joins us with some suggestions. Happy Thanksgiving, Eric. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, let's first talk about Disney Plus, which a lot of people are talking about. Apparently, they've already accumulated 10 million subscribers. A lot of content on there. Star Wars, Marvel, ABC, 20th Century Fox. Is it worth the money to get Disney Plus?
That is the question. And you know, whenever somebody asks me, is it worth it to watch this or buy this service, I always say, well, what do you like? You know, if you are a fan of Disney's library, all of that is in one place. They've made a lot of deals for a lot of ambitious original programming, but that is not really on the site yet. They have one scripted show called The Mandalorian that's connected to the Star Wars universe. A lot of people are just getting the service for that. But if you're into the library, all of the things that they're connected to and all of these great movies, I would say it's definitely worth it. It's $7 a month. But for people who are worried about cost, I might say hang back a little bit and wait, because they've had some glitches with rolling out the technologies, mm-hmm. because they did have, they said, 10 million people at launch, and that was November 12th. They probably have more than that now. But, you know, if you're looking for a new streaming service with a lot of content, it's probably the cheapest one you can get right now.
So $7 a month. And as you look at the other options that are out there, Apple TV and Hulu and Netflix, obviously, how do the costs of those services compare?
Well, it's interesting because, of course, a lot of them are offering deals in order to try and boost their subscriber numbers. So if you buy an Apple product anytime over the next few months, you get a year of Apple TV Plus free. There's a deal that Disney has where you can get Disney Plus and Hulu and ESPN Plus all together in a bundle for $13 a month. That's less than the premium service that Netflix has. I also did a story for NPR's Life Kit series that's on the website, mm-hmm. Where you can see a lot of these different streaming services compared, and we have a lot of detailed information on cost right there.
Okay, but Eric, you are the one who gets to watch all of the shows for a living and tell us what you think of them. So as you look across the spectrum of various streaming services, if you had to pick one right now that's going to be able to give you great content as we head into this holiday season, what would it be?
Well, as I said, you know, Disney Plus makes a lot of sense because all the stuff on it is very family friendly and it's relatively inexpensive. But I'm encouraging people to rethink how they think about television because there are so many choices out there now. So you have to be a little selective. Figure out what you actually watch on television in a week and figure out what's the right combination of streaming services to capture all the stuff that you're interested in. And then the other thing is you can change it. So if there's a streaming service that has a show that you like that's in new episodes, you pick it up. Once you're done seeing the show that you like, you can drop it with a button click. You can transition pretty easy.
Of course, you still have to pay for internet, and often that comes from your cable company. So even if you want to cut the cord on cable, you might still have to be paying a sizable fee to that company.
It is interesting, though. I've been getting emails from people on social media who've said that by cutting the cord, they have been able to cut their entertainment bills in half. So if you're paying, say, $40 a month for broadband, you can still get 6 or 7 of these streaming services, and you'd only be paying $100 a month, which is the average cable bill. Mm-hmm. Because the thing about cable is that unless you're like me and you have to watch everything, you're likely going to be paying for a lot of channels on cable that you don't watch. So why not figure out a way to reallocate that money? And you're not paying for all the stuff you don't want.
Apologies to those people who love the Golf Channel. But Eric, let me ask you about something else, which is Disney actually added disclaimers to some of their older movies on Disney Plus, tipping viewers off to what they called outdated cultural depictions. A lot of people point out that seems to be code for racist stereotypes. What do you make of what's happening here?
Well, I'm with a lot of folks who say it's nice that they tipped a hat to the idea that there are depictions that are insulting to people of color, to say the least. But Disney has not commented on why they chose to put these disclaimers on certain movies and not others. It's on Jungle Book. It's on Peter Pan. It's on Fantasia. It's on Dumbo. It's not on Aladdin, which some people found very controversial. It's not on Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, which some people might have a problem with. So I think what this highlights is that Disney really kind of needs to have a discussion with the world about its history and how it's going to do better in the future. And until they do that, I think there's always going to be some controversy about that old library content. And I think there's going to be more and more pressure for them to actually talk about it.
It's NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Eric, thank you.
Thanks for having me.